So Lord, for all those things, Lord, for the things that we know about, the things that are going on, Lord, we pray your hand will be upon them. Your blessing would be so evident that, Lord, your grace and your favour would land in places where there is hostility, where there are places where there is darkness. But thank you that Christ has the victory, and that the darkness shall not overcome the light. So let each of us who are children of God stand as lights of the gospel of God, being light and truth, hope and life in all that we do. Amen. So we're going to carry on in this kind of series we're in, sort of looking at encounter and stepping into the next and getting ready for what God's going to do in us. So I've said over the last umpteen weeks about how I really feel this year is a year where God says he wants to encounter us. Using those words we read this morning from Isaiah about seek the Lord whilst he may be found, call upon his name. And I just want to take you this morning to a story in the gospel. We're going to look at an encounter between someone and Jesus, and how that encounter was transformative. So we're going to go to Mark 10. Mark 10, 46. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, that is the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped and said, call him. So they called the blind man. Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you. Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked him. The blind man said, Rabbi, I want to see. Go, said Jesus, your faith has healed you. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. For Bartimaeus, this encounter takes him from a place of sitting on the roadside or following Jesus along the road. Sitting on the roadside or following Jesus along the road. Where are you this morning? Are you sitting on the roadside or are you following Jesus along the road? You see, because all of us have a next step. If you're going through life, there's a next thing for you. You might know what it is already. You might be clear about what your next step in life is. And in your spiritual life, you also have a next step. That could be becoming a Christian. That could be getting baptized or becoming a church member, or it could be about serving in a new ministry. It could be being more overt about sharing your faith. It could be a whole number of things that God might be saying. What's the next step for you to take? What's the next step of faith? We talked to me before Christmas about trusting the Father. To trust the Father in everything, about actually putting ourselves in a place where we can trust him. What's your next step this morning? For Bartimaeus, it was a step from being on the roadside to following Jesus down the road. What's your next step? Because all of this story is about how do we encounter Jesus. Those verses I mentioned earlier. Seek the Lord whilst he may be found. Call on him whilst he is near. And this is what Bartimaeus does. He suddenly gets wind of the fact that Jesus is near. He gets wind of the fact that there's this Jesus person, this man, this person who claims to be someone greater, who has power and authority, who seems to be able to do amazing things. And suddenly he realizes who he is and he says, Son of David. And in that expression, he's pointing out the fact that he recognizes something about who Jesus is, the fact that he's not just merely another rabbi, he's not just merely another prophet. There's something about his lineage, there's something about his heritage which speaks of actually the coming hope for Israel, that actually he is the Messiah. Son of David, have mercy upon me. He recognizes that Jesus is close, and he starts calling out, just like those verses say in Isaiah, seek the Lord whilst he is near. Call on his name. Call on his name. Do you realize this morning that Jesus is near? Do you realize that God isn't far off, but that God is very, very close? And that he wants to speak to you. He wants to encounter you. He wants to be part of your life in not just a nominal way, but in a very real way. Every day, every minute, every moment, he is desperate to be in relationship with you, helping you, walking on the journey with you. It's not just a concept to know in our heads. It's something to live out in our lives. That God is with us. He is near, and therefore you can call on his name. And so I just want to look at this passage this morning and just ask some questions of it. Questions to ask ourselves about where we are at this morning. And so the first question this morning is, where are you? Where are you? Where do you find yourself? Are you on that roadside, just sitting there, waiting, hoping? Bartimaeus was there begging on the side of the road because he was blind. He had no means to support himself apart from relying on other people. But when Jesus started coming nearby, he did something. He stepped out. Those verses again from Isaiah 55 we read this morning. If you're thirsty, come. Our repeated theme in Scripture is, are you hungry? Are you thirsty? Think about when you're hungry or when you're thirsty. You can't stop thinking about it. You're thinking about, how on earth am I going to find some food? Where am I going to get my next drink from? How am I going to quench that thirst? It's not just some nice words that say, if you're hungry and thirsty, that's nice, come to Jesus. Do you have in you that desperate going, I need Jesus. I need something from him. There's something that I haven't got right now that I am desperate for, that I need to be quenched in my spirit and in my soul. Is it something that you're feeling, I'm just feeling empty. I need something this morning. Or have we become so used to Jesus that we've forgotten to hunger and thirst? We've forgotten to seek after him. We've forgotten to trust that he is there. Do you want to go deeper in your faith? Or are you happy where you are right now? Because if you're a Christian, being happy where you are right now is never the answer. Jesus always says, come deeper. Draw closer. There is more for you. Will you hunger? Will you thirst? Bartimaeus, he cries out. He cries out to him saying, God, where are you? Where are you? Come and have mercy upon me. One of those values we looked at before Christmas was about passionate worship. And if you remember, I was stood there at the front with a watering can above my head and pouring water down. And I was saying, you need to position yourself. You need to get in a situation where you're in the flow of God's Spirit. For Bartimaeus, he's saying, I want what God's got. I'm going to cry out. I'm going to have passion in my desire for God. Do you hunger and do you thirst? This morning you kind of going, he's talking about passion again. Because if you hunger and thirst, the Bible says God will meet you in that. And if you're struggling to experience God in your life right now, is it because you're not hungering and thirsting? Is it because you're not actually needing God? You want God, but you don't really need him right now. Are you hungering and are you thirsting? Are you saying, my spirit, my being needs God, otherwise I am not satisfied? Will you hunger and thirst? Where are you this morning? What position are you in? Are you drawing close? Are you calling out? Are you crying out? Do you realize that God is near? Where are you? Secondly, do you have that desire to encounter Jesus? Are you in the flow of the Spirit? Where are you? Or actually, are you not? If you're not in the flow of that, Do you want to be? Do you actually want to experience more of God? Do you desire an encounter with Jesus? The Bible is full of stories of people who meet Jesus and their lives are transformed and changed. That people's situations go from being bleak to suddenly being full of hope. Do you desire to meet with Jesus? What voices are you listening to? Then it says in the story, when he heard it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." What voices are you listening to? What voices this morning are you listening to? The voices that say, "That's not true. That's not possible. God doesn't really love you. God doesn't really want to change your situation." It's great that people say all that stuff, but it's not really true for you. It's only true for them. What voices are you listening to this morning? Voices that may be telling you that something isn't true, that actually God says is. And that can also be the voices that are in ourselves. The voices that we have inside of us that say, "You're no good, you're not useful, you can't do anything. Why would anyone want to be your friend? Why would God ever want to love you? Why would God ever use you?" Because as soon as you have a desire to encounter Jesus, the enemy will always try and come with another voice that says, "Don't do it. It's not really true. It's not for you." And this is one of the biggest things that stops us growing in our faith, is that as soon as we start crying out to God and say, "I do have a hunger, I do have a thirst," something else will come in as a voice that will speak against that and tell you, "Be quiet. I want to have a passion for God. I'm going to go and spend time worshipping God. Oh, but I need to go to the shops. I need to go and do this. I need to go and do that." See, it's not just someone's voice saying a lie. It can be that. It can sometimes be actually saying there's something else which right now must take more importance, that must quiet you from shouting out, "Son of David, have mercy on me." What is it that gets in the way of you being able to cry out to God? What are the voices that are telling you that something else is far more pressing than gathering for worship? There are other things that are far more pressing than you reading your Bible. There are far more things pressing than you spending time praying. What voices are you listening to? The great thing about Bartimaeus is he doesn't listen. What's his response to their voices saying, "Be quiet"? He shouts all the louder. And there's a thing in spiritual walk and spiritual life, when the enemy tries to do something in our lives, the principle about standing in the opposite spirit. So when the enemy says, "You haven't got time to do X, Y, and Z for God," I'm going to do twice as much for God. When the enemy says, "You're no good," I'm going to stand the truth that I am good, and I'm going to go and tell everyone how good God says I am. Bartimaeus does the exact thing that people are telling him not to do. They say, "Be quiet." And he shouts even louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me." What voices are you listening to this morning? But also Jesus is speaking. Jesus calls out and says to him, "Call him. Come. Come be close." When we call on him, when we have that hunger and thirst, God will respond in saying, "Come. Come, draw in." God is speaking. And for some of us this morning, maybe we don't believe that God wants to speak to us. And Jesus is saying, "Come. I'm speaking. Come. Respond. You can come. It's okay. Come and experience the voice." Jesus says in John 10:27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." If you're not hearing Jesus' voice, you'll never follow. You've got to hear his voice. And then what it goes on to say? Jesus stops and said, call him. So they called to the blind man, cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you. Who are the people in your life who are your cheerleaders? Who are cheering you on? Because in the Christian life, we can't do it on our own. We need other people around us to help us. To help be the other voice, the voice that is a good voice into our life. That actually says, come on, he's calling you. There's hope. Get up. Come on. We can do it. Who are the people cheering you on? In the Old Testament, you've got Moses, and he's got Aaron and Hur, and they are the people who hold his hands up when he is tired, when he is weak. They're the people who come alongside him and say, come on, God says this, and we're going to do it together. Who are the people around you who are cheering you on? Who are the people you go to for that extra oomph? That's you going, oh, that'll be a really bad day. Who are the people who cheer you on? And if you haven't got people around you cheering you on, maybe you need to find some people to cheer you on. Maybe you're listening to the wrong voices. Maybe the voices around you are saying, be quiet, stop it. Who are the people cheering you on? Find those voices. And again, it says in Hebrews, let's not neglect meeting together as some have made it the habit, but let's encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. It's so easy when we feel under pressure and we feel things aren't going right that we then neglect meeting together as fellowship, as believers. And when we neglect that, we miss the encouragement that comes from being part of the community of God. We need the community of God around us to bring encouragement and support and to be those cheerleading voices in our lives. We need people who are going to pep us up and say, come on. I think it's what Laura was talking about last week, weren't you, about the shield of faith. We need to sort of shield each other. It's standing together in this. It's not doing it on our own. Actually, we need each other. You can't do it on your own. Who's cheering you on? Have you got anyone in your life doing that? And if you haven't, then you start seeking those people out. Next, it says, so they called the blind man, cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you. Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. What's getting in the way of you responding to Jesus? For the man, it was his cloak. He throws it aside. I wonder why he was begging there, sitting with a cloak covering over him. He throws it off, and he throws it aside. What do you need to throw aside? What's getting in the way in your life right now? Whether you're here this morning, you're a believer or you're not a believer, what's getting in the way of you taking the next step in your life? Because often we say, I'll do that when. I'll do that when this happens, then I'll do the next thing. And I can't do that until this happens. And it's saying, actually, well, then what do you need to take responsibility for and throw aside so that you can respond? And often in our spiritual lives, we're saying, Jesus, why won't you do this? Jesus, why won't you do that? Jesus is saying, throw aside this or that so that you can actually experience me. Throw it aside. What do you need to cast aside this morning? It says in Romans 13:12, we mentioned this a few weeks ago, the night is nearly over, the day is almost here, so let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armour of light. It's saying, cast off the stuff that's holding you back and live in the truth of what God's saying is for your future. Live in his truth. Live in his reality. Live in what he has for you. Again, another thing we talked about a few weeks ago was about preparation. And one of the verses that comes again and again in the Bible is that weird verse, those weird verses that say, gird up your loins, which means basically pull up your cloak, tuck it into your belt so you're ready to go. You're ready for action. What do you need to do to prepare yourself to get ready to do what's next? What do you need to throw aside in order for you to be able to respond to Jesus? What's getting in the way? And next says the man jumps up. What action do you need to take now to position yourself closer to Jesus? What action do you need to take right now to position yourself closer to Jesus? Again, when we were talking about intentional faith development, we talked about putting ourselves in an advantageous position to experience all that God has for us. What do we need to do to put ourselves in a place where we are closer to Jesus? Is that taking some more time out to be with him? Is that just spending time just to be? Is that finding people to pray with? Is that finding a time to pray yourself? Is that being able to engage in his word in a different way? Maybe for you, it's about actually, you just need to celebrate more. You need to celebrate. The Christian discipline of celebration needs to be part of your life more. It's all become a bit bleak and a bit gloomy. Maybe you need to have a bit more of a celebration than a party. Maybe for you, you need some solitude. You need to get away from everyone. Maybe for some of you, it's actually, I need to spend more time with people to be able to get that experience of the corporate gathering of people together. That whole series we did on apprenticeship to Jesus about what can we do to position ourselves in a place where we are able to experience the fullness of the Spirit of God in our lives. What action do you need to take this morning to position yourself closer to Jesus? And when he gets there, Jesus says, "What do you want me to do for you?" These amazing words just remind us that God is for us. God is so for us. I don't know about you, but I just forget that God wants to help me. I think often I'm there doing stuff and God's going, "I could help you, you know." And I am fiercely independent. I don't like anyone helping me do anything at all. And I think Jesus is there going, "Oh, come on, Pete. What can I do for you? What do you want from me?" It's a question that's been asked before. If you could ask Jesus anything, what would you ask him? If this morning you wanted one thing to change in your life, what would you ask him? What do you want me to do for you? A few months back, I was praying and God said to me in my journal, he said, "Pete, it's time to pray big." And what I felt God say to me was, "Pete, write down in your journal the biggest dreams of your heart." So in my journal, I wrote down, it went over 2 pages, the things that, yeah, I'm just going to dare to ask God for it. Just going to dare to ask. Why not? What do you want me to do for you this morning? The God of the universe, the God who breathed life into being, is saying, "What do you want me to do for you? Now you've drawn close, now that you're here, now you're having an encounter with me, what do you want from this encounter? What do you want from me?" And sometimes I think we get to God and he's going, "What do you want from me?" And we run away. I'm going to be like Jacob in the Old Testament who wrestles with God and says, "I'm not going to leave this place until I am blessed. Until I've experienced the fullness of who you are. What do you want from me?" See, that is the radical hospitality of God right there. Of him saying, "All that I am is yours. What do you want?" Will you dare to ask God this morning for the things that are on your heart? Imagine if we all started asking God for the things that are on our hearts. Like the big dreams, not the sort of the little, just little things, but the big stuff. Imagine the things that would transform and take place in this community. Because not God doesn't want to do it, God does want to do it. What do you want me to do for you this morning? And do you have faith that God will do it? It goes back to our trust the Father. Will we trust that God is who he says he is and that he will do what he has promised? Will we trust that God is who he says he is and that he will do what he has promised? Or do we have an experience of God and we go, "Well, that was nice, but it's just a bit of a funny feeling. I don't think it's actually going to change anything. I don't believe God can actually do this." And for me, when God was asking me, "Pete, write down the big prayers of your heart," I was going, "I don't know if God can do this." And writing it down was me sort of saying, "Okay, God, I'm going to put it in writing. I'm going to make it physically real. Not just in my head, but actually I'm going to put it down on paper and say, 'God, I'm going to trust that this thing is going to come to pass.'" And a great way, if you're struggling with prayer, is to write your prayers down. Use a journal, write your prayers down. And then you can go back and you can see when God's answered your prayers. It's a beautiful thing to do. Because often he answers our prayers, but we've just forgotten we prayed about it 3 or 4 months ago. Because it's not at the forefront of our mind anymore, we've forgotten that God's actually done something, that he can actually do stuff. Do you have faith that Jesus will do it? Are you sitting on the roadside, or are you following along the road? In your faith walk this morning, are you just sitting there, hoping that you might experience Jesus at some point, or are you actually actively calling out, experiencing him, receiving from him, living life with him, so that you're able to follow him along the road? Are you sitting, or are you walking? And ultimately, what I believe in this passage is like this. The man who's blind is in a place where he just can't get himself out of the situation he's in. He's stuck. He's in a rut. But he calls out to God, and God is able to do something for him, to take him out of the rut. And I don't believe he just followed Jesus down the road, kind of walking along. I think he was legging it. I think he was running as fast as he could. Are you in a rut? Do you need to run? You haven't got to live your life in a rut. You can encounter God and let him speak into that and move you forward to take the next step. But quite often, we choose to live in the rut because it's what we've got used to, it's what we've become comfortable with, and we've lost the belief that God can actually do what he says he'll do. Do you want to run? Do you want a fresh start? Do you want something new to take place in your life? Because this passage is all about Jesus offering a fresh start and a new beginning. Do you want a fresh start and a new beginning? For Bartimaeus, being blind meant that he wasn't able to engage in temple worship. He wasn't allowed access to God according to the religion of the day. And Jesus comes by, says, "What do you want me to do for you?" He says, "I want to see." Jesus says, "Go. Your faith has healed you." And he's able to access and engage in life in a way he's longed to for a long, long time. Don't live in the rut. Encounter Jesus and then run. Run with all your heart. So what next step do you need to make today? For you, is it you need to get more passionate about calling out to God and recognise that he's close? For you, is it about actually stop listening to the voices that aren't helpful in your life, the voices from your past, maybe your present, or maybe the fear of the future? What are the voices that you're listening to? Maybe you need to think about whether I need to stop listening to those voices. Maybe you need to recognise that God is speaking to you today. Maybe you need to find people to encourage you on the journey. Maybe for you, you need to think about what actually would I ask Jesus if I was there? What would you need to throw away? What do you need to cast off this morning that's getting in the way of you experiencing more of Jesus in your life? Do you have faith that God's going to do something in you and through you? What's the next step you need to take this morning? Because there's always a next step in following Jesus. In Psalm 19:1-3, it says this, "Direct my footsteps according to your promise." Direct my footsteps according to your promise. Are you going to sit by the road, or are you going to follow on the journey? A rut, or are you running? Where are you this morning? What's your next step in life? What's your next step with Jesus? How are you going to go deeper? What we're going to do now is we're going to sing a song, if the worship team can come back up. I'm just going to do a simple response this morning. And this morning was just about asking questions. You read the Bible and God loves to just ask people questions, because it makes us start to think about where we're at and what we're doing. We're going to sing a song. We're going to sing Oceans, which talks about taking me to the next step, God. As we do that, I want you to think about what's the next step for you. What's the thing God's speaking to you about this morning? What's the next step? Maybe you're saying, actually, God, what do I want you to do for me? And if you want to, as we sing this song, I'm going to encourage you, if you want to sort of respond and just say, actually, I'm going to take a next step, whatever it is this morning, no matter how big or how small it might be. So come forward and just take, there's a footprint here, and it just has the direct my footsteps according to your promise. A little reminder to take away with you and say, actually, yeah, I need to remember every day there's a next step that God wants me to take, and actually, I'm doing it according to his promise. If you want to say, actually, I want to take a next step, as we sing this song, come forward, pick up a footprint, as your kind of prayer to God, saying, God, I want the next step of the journey with you. I want to cast off things that are getting in the way. I want to experience more of who you are in my life.